Thank you, Marion. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dia's first quarter 2018 results presentation. The call will be hosted by company CEO, Mr. Ricardo Corrales, and by the Chief Corporate Officer, Mr. Armando Sánchez. They will cover a presentation before moving into the Q&A session. Before getting started, I would like to remember that this event is being recorded, and it will be available for playback right after the end. I also invite you to review the legal disclaimer of the document. Now I turn the call over to Ricardo Corrales. Ricardo, you have the floor.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dia's first quarter 2018 results presentation. In page five, you will find the main highlights of the first quarter 2018. Gross sales and the banner ex-currency have been flat, small increase of 0.2%, with like-for-like sales growth ex-calendar of 1.9%. We achieved a positive 0.5% like-for-like sales growth in Spain in a tough competitive environment and with an unusual amount of rain impacting negatively proximity stores in Iberia. I want to highlight the 10% like-for-like sales growth of LaPlaza in the first quarter. In Argentina and Brazil, like-for-like sales growth was a positive 4.2%, with negative inflation of -4% affecting sales growth in Brazil. We expect deflation in Brazil to ease from the second quarter. A record of 480 stores have been upgraded in Iberia in the first quarter, 2,060 of which were full remodeling and 220 modular refurbishing, with good results in customer satisfaction and sales growth after the upgrade and good expected returns. We are slightly ahead of our ambitious plan to remodel 1,090 stores that is key to achieve our sales growth targets in Iberia in 2018. Finally, adjusted EBITDA decreased by 6.6% ex-currency in the first quarter. Adjusted EBITDA margin remained broadly stable compared to same quarter 2017, with a small decline in Iberia. We lost 30 basis points of margin in Iberia as we continued to invest in price competitiveness. Let us move to a more detailed review of our financial evolution in Q1. Armando, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Ricardo. Good morning, everyone. Sales for the first quarter of the year achieved 2.3 billion euros, a decline of 9.3% in euros. In local currency and excluding calendar effect, sales were 0.9% higher than last year, with negative Forex and calendar effects of 10.2% due to the strong depreciation of the LATAM currencies. Group like-for-like ex-calendar was 1.9%, while Spain's contribution to sales was negative by 1%. On slide number eight, looking at segments, Iberia reported gross sales of 1.5 billion euros, down 4.3% versus last year, totally attributable to a 3.3% space reduction and 1% negative calendar effect. Spain comparable sales were positive, mainly due to the strong performance of LaPlaza, while proximity formats in Spain and Portugal were affected by unusually rainy weather. On slide number nine, sales in our emerging market sections amounted to 767 million euros, up 8.1% in local currency, but down 17.7% in euros. Like-for-like in the segment was 4.2%, driven by Argentina, with a weaker quarter in Brazil. Space contribution to sales was 3.9%. On slide number 10, adjusted EBITDA margin on sales at group level stood at 5.8%, almost stable, or a slight decline of 2 basis points versus same period last year. This decline contains a positive effect from the mix of sales, as sales in Iberia with higher margins represents this quarter 66.2% of sales versus 62.7% of last year. By segment, margins in Iberia were down by 30 basis points as the market remained competitive, but we were able to improve the trend versus Q4. In emerging markets, adjusted EBITDA margin on sales was 3%, a 10 basis point increase versus Q1 2017. Net debt on slide number 11 stood at 1.1 1 billion euros, 136 million euros higher than the same period last year, while we remain in a comfortable financial position with our BBB- rating with a stable outlook confirmed by Standard & Poor's. Now I'll turn the call to Ricardo for some operating highlights and closing remarks.
Thank you again, Armando. As you all know, competitive landscape in Iberia remains tough. Therefore, an absolute focus on top-line growth is key to achieve our targets. We'll continue to invest in price competitiveness throughout the year. The fact that we have concluded our buying alliances both in Spain and Portugal for 2018 will not be of help for this purpose. Nevertheless, we are determined to maintain our actual good level of price competitiveness. Therefore, we are actively exploring new potential alliances to be agreed in the coming months. The plan to upgrade 1,090 stores in Iberia is running well in time and with very good results in terms of customer satisfaction and sales growth. We'll finish most of the remodelings at the end of Q2, which will help us to improve like-for-like sales growth in the second quarter and again in the second half of the year. An example of the good results of the remodeling plan is La Plaza, where more than half of the stores have been upgraded yet, and like-for-like sales growth is accelerating, driven by fresh products. Focus on price competitiveness and on improving the proximity value proposition is the best way to respond to the demand of our customers, and that is our top priority now in Iberia. We have started to roll out all the elements of our renewed proximity value proposition with new services and offer, adding food solutions and healthy conscious products, modern and spacious layouts, and extended opening hours in up to 44 stores. We are achieving excellent results in these stores with 20% sales growth driven by new customers. We will increase the number of these new proximity concept upgrades in the second and third quarter as part of our plan. As we move forward in the year, especially in the second half, new store openings will improve space contribution to sales in Iberia. Online sales growth has been very strong in the first quarter, 48%. Our plan is to continue investing to develop online sales in Spain in the coming quarters. We are also launching our online sales operations in Portugal, Argentina, and Brazil in 2018. In Brazil, sales in Q1 have been affected by deflation and a tough competitive environment. Nevertheless, we have seen significant improvement in sales performance from March. I want to highlight that in emerging markets, we are pushing from the first quarter of the year for an acceleration of our expansion. In page 14, La Plaza de Día is an example of the good results of our remodeling plan. More than 50% of the stores have already been upgraded, representing 74% of sales from last year to the first quarter of this year. We will complete the plan before the year-end. We have achieved a 10% like-for-like sales growth in Q1, driven by very strong growth in fresh products, especially fruits and vegetables, bakery, fish, and meat. Fresh products reached 50% of sales in these stores. La Plaza de Día is growing profitably. We have achieved our target of 5% adjusted EBITDA for the format, and we have opened successfully the first three new stores this year. Most important, customer satisfaction with La Plaza is growing every quarter. After a period in which the integration of the acquisitions was our priority, we are now focused on the improvement of our Día banner too, and we believe we are on the right track to make a significant improvement as we have shown with La Plaza. To close the intervention, and before moving on to the Q&A session, let me share with you a few closing remarks. Our priority in 2018 is top-line growth, both in Iberia and emerging markets. Cost efficiencies will continue to be invested in customers through prices and improvement in service. Our objective is to achieve, in the coming quarters, positive total sales growth in Iberia by increasing the like-for-like sales growth performance through active improvement of the store base and new openings. In emerging markets, our priority is to continue growing faster than the market. As planned, we are accelerating expansion both in Argentina and Brazil. In Brazil, deflation is starting to ease, which will help us to improve like-for-like sales growth from the second quarter in a challenging environment where currencies are depreciating strongly. In summary, sales growth acceleration is our most important and key priority for 2018, and the whole team is convinced that putting focus on it is the best way to achieve our goals for the year. Thank you. I leave the floor to David to start with the Q&A session. David, please.
Thank you, Ricardo. Operator, we are ready to start with the Q&A session, please.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will take our first question from Maxime Mallet from Deutsche Bank.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. The first one is with regard to the guidance that you've set in Q4 about 2018. It's not been reiterated in the press release or in the presentation, so I was wondering whether that means you're dropping those guidance and whether you believe that you can achieve, I think, the consensus for the full year EBITDA right now is at 552 million euros, so do you think you can achieve this figure for 2018? The second question is net debt has been increasing in Q1. Do you expect you have some timing effects inside of that and you can recover and lower your net debt for the full year, or do you expect the full year net debt to be up for 2018? My third question is you're not detailing much in the release how you could move from minus 400 basis points in Q4 to minus 30 basis points in Q1 in terms of Iberian margin. Could you maybe explain a bit what were the moving parts, and should we expect that going into Q4 we should see a significant rebound given the comparison basis in Q4 2018? And my last one is you mentioned the alliance with Intermarché and Eroski that ceased to exist in May, and looking for new potential alliance. Does that mean that you expect you're going to have a minor effect from dropping this alliance on your purchasing condition for 2018, or do you expect that 2018 will have a negative impact from those moves from Intermarché and Eroski? Thank you.
Good morning, Maxime. Thank you for your questions. I will take the first three, and Ricardo will address the fourth on the alliances. On the guidance, you're right, we're not expressly reiterating the guidance, but we still believe that only 3 months has gone into the year. We are definitely focused on achieving those targets, but putting definitely much more focus on top-line growth. Obviously, I can affirm that we are comfortable with the consensus guide numbers that you have mentioned. On the net debt figure, we have not set a target for net debt. There is an increase in the figure for first quarter, which doesn't necessarily mean that that is going to be the trend for the year. Again, we are stepping up our investment to improve the network and to expand in Latin America, and I think we are happy with the current level of leverage and our ratings, so we don't see that increase in debt as a major threat to our financial position, and as we said again, we're focused on top line growth. On the evolution of margins, we already, when we addressed the market in February, told that we didn't expect Q4 to be a guide for Q4 17, a guide for Q1 18, and that's what has happened. Certainly, there are been positive elements, probably in the fact that despite a still competitive environment, we did not needed to make as hard investment as we did in Q4, and that has probably had an effect. Obviously, at the end of the year, there's always a rebalancing effect, and that explains also as well the behavior. And Ricardo?
Thank you for the fourth question too. About the alliances, as you say, we have finished the alliance with Intermarché in Portugal and with Eroski in Spain. We continue with the alliance of Casino for the whole group. And from the point of view of what is happening with the relationship with the suppliers, for the time being, what I can tell you is that it has had no negative impact. Of course, we are also seeing that could be a risk for the long term, and that's why we are actively working to create new alliances, and we expect to give you news from these movements in the next weeks.
Okay, thank you. Maybe just to clarify, just two points. The first one, so on the guidance, you're not reiterating it, but you're confident with consensus from what I understood. And with regard to the move from the margin from Q4 to Q1, am I right to understand that you've basically raised prices versus where you were in Q4, and that could explain why there was less margin pressure?
No, we definitely didn't raise prices. We described in great detail, and you can look at the materials we presented in February, that we made additional extra investments during Q3 and Q4, things like VAT days that were very expensive on margin. We continued to do some of those. We didn't definitely raise prices on the shelf at all during the first quarter, but the investment in margin was less acute. Regarding guidance, again, the guidance is still in place, and that is our target for the year. It is too early to say and to move away, so we're not moving away from that guidance. We are putting much more focus definitely on the top line part of that guidance, and we will update it whenever it is the right time to do.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take the next question from Cedric Lecarble from Raymond James.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three, if I may. The first one on Spain, to rebound on the previous question, should we understand you eventually booked in some rebates or back margins that you missed in Q4 and that you cashed in Q1? Explaining the gap from minus 400 to minus 30, was there a contribution from suppliers to explain this evolution? And maybe could you help us understand the net impact of remodelings on the Spanish performance? I understand it's negative when you do the remodelings, it's positive afterwards. Could you maybe tell us what impact it had on sales and on EBITDA estimated in Q1? So that we can have an idea for the rest of the year. And maybe on Clavel, like-for-likes were negative. You are disclosing like-for-likes. They were negative. It used to be a growth driver, so maybe you can tell us what happened on Clavel. And the last one is on emerging markets, if you could provide the like-for-likes in Brazil and Argentina. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your questions. The first about margins in Iberia, in Spain. Well, I think that I will reiterate what Armando said, but let me explain it a little bit more. If you want, we said at the end of last year that we were going to continue negotiating with suppliers because we have made a big investment in the third and fourth quarter, as Armando has said. We continued with a very good price position in the first quarter of 2018, and we have continued our negotiations. And as we already told you, when we finish the year in the last results presentation, we thought that we were going to stabilize our margins in 2017, as it has happened. Speaking about remodelings, remodelings are doing very well. Of course, the first quarter is not the best moment to see what it gives in terms of sales, because you close the stores to be remodeled. You have to take into account that we have done a lot of remodelings, but it is true that the number of days that have been closed are not so important than in previous remodelings, because we have full remodelings in 260 stores, which finally mean between 4 and 6 days of closing the store, and modular remodelings in which we are closing the store 1-2 days maximum. The results continue to be good, as expected, when the stores were upgraded with single digit like-for-like growth in full remodelings, and low single digit like-for-like growth in modular remodelings, and therefore this will add to the growth in like-for-like in the second quarter and in the following quarters as we continue also remodeling more and more stores. Clarel, which is your third question, had, as you said, a negative like-for-like in the first quarter, which was due mainly affected by the rainy weather. Clarel is very affected with this unusual rainy weather, and we have seen that immediately when things have changed, and now weather is similar to what was last year. Clarel is again growing. And there was another question about like-for-like in Brazil and Argentina. Well, what we have seen in the first quarter is a good performance in Argentina and a weaker performance in Brazil, especially in January and February, affected by very negative inflation and also by the tough environment. But fortunately, we have seen an improvement, a clear improvement in March and April, and we continue that improvement in May.
If I may, just on the volume situation in Brazil, did you come back to positive volume evolution in March and April?
Sorry. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take the next question from Philippe Rosset from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So three questions for me, if I may. The first one on Portugal. You have had a negative like-for-like in Portugal, and the number two players already reported, and they have had a like-for-like of above 6% in Q1. Could you just let us know whether you have seen a deterioration of the competitive backdrop, why there is such a big gap between the performance of two proximity players? That would be my first question. My second question relates to restructuring costs. So they have picked up a lot year on year, and you say in your comments that this has been driven by the higher remodeling activity. My question is, should we expect the, could you give us some sort of guidance on, based on what you've seen up to Q1, what could be the total restructuring costs for the full year? And my third question, sorry to come back to the EBITDA margin evolution in Iberia in Q1, but just to be clear whether, because this was important, in the Q4 conference call, you told us that there was this possibility to recover these rebates from suppliers or to have this additional funding that you didn't manage to record it in Q4 to have it booked in Q1. Just could you just let us know whether this has happened? You have managed to book some rebates related to the commercial activity you have done in Q3 and Q4, whether you have been able to recover them in Q1? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Felipe. Good morning. Your questions are welcome. Regarding performance in Portugal, definitely it has been negative, and after several quarters of a good evolution, this can only be named as a bad quarter for the business, especially in the later part of the quarter. And that gap seems in performance with vis-à-vis other players in the market seems unacceptable for us, and we're working on that. As you know, the weather in Portugal, it's always a bad excuse, but has been particularly rainy. Most of our stores, I would say 90% of our stores, doesn't have a parking lot, whether almost, if not all, the rest of the players of the market, and not only the two that reported sales, but the rest of the market is almost entirely stores with parking lots, and we believe that has definitely been part of the explanation of that significant gap. On restructuring costs, they are definitely concentrated as remodelings are concentrated in the first part of the year. All those items that are reported as restructuring or other items excluded from adjusted operating profit are definitely going to be concentrated in the first part of the year. And last on the EBITDA margin evolution, I would rather not enter into more details. Definitely, again, we guided that we didn't expect Q4 to be a good reference for Q1, and that is what has happened.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now take the next question from Jose Rito from CaixaBank.
Yes, hi, good morning. So picking up on this margin evolution, you just mentioned that you don't want to provide that much details, and actually you have already commented related with Q4 margin, but the fact is that when you look to sales evolution, sales were in Iberia, I mean, were actually even worse than in Q4 in the second half last year. So my question is, and I would assume that the margin evolution in Q1 was helped by some rebates from suppliers. So my question is, why suppliers are helping more in Q1 than in H2 last year if sales continue to decline? So just to have a little bit more color on this margin evolution, that will be my first question. And the second question related with the working capital evolution, if you could detail how much was the negative impact from FX to this working capital evolution in Q1. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Let me answer the first question about margin evolution. Once again, I want to reiterate that margin evolution in Iberia in the first quarter, you cannot make an absolute connection with what has happened in fourth quarter, because we are not having our negotiation conditions with suppliers in this way. We continue our negotiations for the year, and we, as I said in the last telephone call in February, we were investing a lot in prices in the fourth quarter. We were talking to our suppliers to say, well, this investment should be in some way funded by the suppliers, and as we continue negotiations in the first quarter, this part of these negotiations were finished with success, and therefore this is the normal way of negotiating with suppliers. You cannot look at numbers with quarter to quarter and see if this has an effect on of what happened with the negotiation with suppliers, because it has nothing to do. The first quarter of 2018, from the point of view of sales, was a quarter in which Spain made more or less the same level of sales performance than in the fourth quarter of 2017 in terms of like-for-like growth, and in terms, if you take out, of course, calendar effects, and therefore we have not seen a significant change in the trend of sales in the first quarter, which is normal because in the first quarter we were mainly remodeling the stores, and when you remodel in the stores, you mainly are closing some of them in order to refurbish them, and therefore the expected improvement in sales will come in the next quarters, as I explained before. I leave the second question to Armando.
Good morning, Jose. Thank you for your question. You have that detail as every quarter on page number 9 of the release, and I'm just reading March 31st trade working capital for the group was negative 688 million euros, which is a decline versus a negative of 3.3%. Currencies excluded, it would have been an increase of trade working capital of 30 million euros, and so the change ex currency is 4.2% positive, again on two negative figures. No?
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Xavier Lemin from Bank of America.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions, if I may. The first one, just on the comment you made, so on the guidance, they are not in your Q1, but you said, okay, you're still planning EBITDA to grow, but you have been quite emphatic on the sales being a top priority. So is there any inflation in the strategy? So that's my first question, and should we read potentially a bit more pressure going forward on the margin? The second one, can you elaborate a bit more on the space cut you had in Spain, which was 3.4%. Can you potentially break that down between COCO stores and COFO stores?
Thank you for your questions. About the guidance, we reiterated what we said. Our guidance continued to be the same we had at the we delivered, or we explained at the end of last year, in the results presentations of February. But again, I want to reiterate that our top priority is sales growth, because we believe that the best way to achieve all the targets of our guidance is to be successful in this priority, in top line growth. And fortunately, I think our plan is moving in the right direction. We are our plan, which you know is, in the case of Iberia, a big remodeling plan affecting 50% of our sales. In the case of the Dia La Plaza stores, is to continue doing that in the first half of the year. Mainly, most of the stores will be remodeled, and that will, of course, allow us to continue increasing our like-for-like in the next quarters. As we see that the results of the remodelings are being very good, we don't see that we will have further inflation in the next quarters in Spain or in Portugal. We don't see that, but we see that we can add more volume and more customers to our stores by this remodeling process, as I've just mentioned. And Speaking about space contribution, of course, the first quarter has been very busy in terms of remodelings. We have not been opening many stores, but we are starting to open new stores. The first three supermarkets have been opened yet, and we will continue opening stores throughout the year. We will not close many stores this year, just some, but not significant. And therefore, we expect that especially in the second part of the year, space contribution will start to add to sales. And our objective, as I said in the first part of our presentation, is to have positive growth in Spain in sales in the next quarters, right? By an increase in like-for-like sales growth, and by a better contribution of space.
Sorry to come back to my question, but this new space that you cut last year, was it mainly COCO or COFO stores?
Ah, sorry. I forgot the COCO and COFO question. Most of the stores that have been closed are COCO stores.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question over the telephone, please press star one. There are currently no further questions on the telephone at this time.
Okay, so we can now move to the internet session of Q&A. The first one we are covering today comes from Francisco Riquel at Alantra Equities. It's about the number of franchise stores has fallen by 34 quarter on quarter, and the number of COCO is up by 31. Are you taking over stores from franchisees? Have you seen an increase in the churn rate of franchisees? Can you please update on the like-for-like trends and margins for franchisees?
Thank you for your questions. I will answer the questions. No, we have not seen an increase in churn rate for franchisees in the quarter. As we move on in the year, we are always trying to work on our portfolio of stores. And these 34 stores that has been changed, as you said, is normal business for us, and we have not seen any impact in our churn ratios for franchisees. In terms of like-for-like trends and margins for franchisees, as we explained at last year, what we have seen is that our franchisees, and this is coming from the survey we did for them, are happier with the profitability of the stores. We have been supporting them throughout the full year, and we continue to do it. And therefore, I think our franchisees have very good situation now. We continue, of course, trying to open more franchises, especially with our Clarel stores, because, as you know, the Dia Market, most of them are already franchised. And the trends and margins of our franchisees, we expect them to continue growing in the year, because the remodeling process that we are doing in Iberia is affecting a lot these franchisees, and the growth in sales and margins will come with the remodeling of the stores.
Okay, we move now to the second question that arrived from Tim Attenborough at the Grupo Santander. Is can you clarify what the space impact will be in second half? It will be positive. And also, how much of the -3.3% in first quarter space in Iberia is permanent closures and how much temporary remodelings?
Tim, thank you for your question. As you can see in the earnings report, store selling area declined in Spain by 3.4% versus Q1 2017, which is slightly lower than the 3.9% decline of Q4 2017. Store selling area was almost flat versus December. So the impact of temporary closings in the quarter is significant, around 1.5% of store selling area, or the 450, more than 450 remodelings were closed of for a period that you can estimate to be around 8 days. Whether this effect was not that much present in Q4, where obviously less, significantly lower number of remodeling or temporary closing happened in the quarter.
Okay, and now we are go for a follow-up question that from Tina Tembrot is, how is the Spanish price leadership position? You said pricing position was 120 basis points in second half. Where are you now versus competition?
Thank you for your question. We have maintained more or less the same position in the first quarter of the year.
There's another question from Tim that is about current trading in the second quarter. If you can give us some color about it.
Well, the current trading today is good. We have seen that as I said before, that in Brazil, January and February have been tough, but from March we have seen a recovery, and we continue seeing this recovery in this month. In the case of Portugal, as Amando said, finally the big rains have finished, and we are seeing also a recovery, and we see a good trend in Spain.
And the last question comes from Andrea Benenti, and the analyst. It's about the estimated CapEx for the full year 2018.
Good morning, Andrea. Thank you for your question. As we guided in February, we expect CapEx on net sales to be in the range of the 3.5 to 4%. And definitely, as we see good progress in the remodeling and good results, we can probably think that figure would be on the higher end of that figure. Obviously, currencies will probably help to reduce that number in euros, but we feel positive about the effects of work in the stores and improvement in the stores, so we will push and that figure probably to the higher end of that range.
With this question, we have finished the conference call. Today, I would like to conclude this session with a few words in the memory of Antonio Pausa, one of the sell-side analysts of DIA that passed away a few weeks ago. Antonio accumulated more than 25 years of experience on the sell-side, some of them with me in Kepler, but more than that, he had numerous friends in the industry thanks to his charm and tireless pursuit of happiness. Antonio, we already miss you singing your beloved arias of Verdi and Puccini. Rest in peace, dear friend. Thank you again for your time, and have a good day. Bye-bye.